IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to this episode of the program Viewpoints with me, Attar, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Hussain and Sister Zainab. Shaykh Hussain, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you and to your dear listeners.
And Sister Zainab, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salam, brother, and also to all our listeners.
Thank you. So one of the questions that is very much posed is that what happened to the remaining parts or the members of the family of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam after Ashura tragedy? In fact, what exactly happened to the caravan of the captives? And so what was the reaction of the people of that time? Shaykh Hussain Latifi, let's get first to the historical facts from your tongue. I mean, can you give us a picture of what happened exactly to the caravan after Ashura tragedy in the 10th day of Muharram, 61 AH?
Yes, like other incidents in history, there are things about this incident that we are sure of, that have been attested in multiple reports, historical reports, to the level that we are certain that there is no conspiracy or there is no fabrication. So some levels of it are undeniable, but some levels of it, again, like other historical incidents, in the gray areas, you have to do your analysis. So I go with the first one, that we know the family members, the female family members of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were taken captive after Ashura, and they were taken to Kufa, and after that they were taken to Sham, Damascus.
Yes.
And because it is a sign actually that shows the hierarchy of power. There are elements in Sunni Islam that try to cut off this hierarchy of power and blame the martyrdom of Imam Hussein upon the people of Kufa only.
All right.
But we see that those people would not see themselves as the ultimate source of power, and they took these captives to Yazid.
So these were the people of Kufa who, for example, assassinated Imam al-Hussein? This is what the Sunni narrative is about?
Part of the army were from the Kufans.
Okay. But they were not guilty. They were all the tools in the hands of the power of
the Kufans. They had their share of the guilt, actually, but it was not all the Kufans. As you know, Kufan was a mega city at that time.
Yes.
Many people were there. It was not like a city that you have all the tribes' known people. So some of these people were just moved to Kufa from other areas. And they were intimidated by the power of Yazid, the Damascus army. And under that threat, they lost their choice, actually. So the captives were taken to Damascus, to the court of Yazid. And initially, those people, I mean the army of the enemy, they thought that they can take these captives as booties of war, because that was something in the tribal system of the Arabs before Islam.
Yes.
After Islam, no. Because like we have in the incident of the Battle of Camel, that Aisha revolted against Imam Ali alayhi salam, when the army of Imam Ali alayhi salam prevailed, they did not take anyone captive, actually, because they said this belonged to the time before Islam. Women, but these people, they thought that they can revive the tradition of the pre-Islamic Jahiliyyah time. But when they were there, because of the sermon of Lady Zainab salamullah alayha and Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the enemies realized that they cannot do that.
That's right.
Because the public opinion would turn against them.
Okay.
So they had to send them back to Medina.
And was it kind of humiliation for, I don't know, they want to show that, for example, we took the grandson of Prophet Muhammad and his family, you know, and now we are at power. So historically speaking, we know that Umayyads were always after taking revenge from Al Hashim family, okay, and the Ahlul Bayt, and that was a good chance for them. So taking the captives from city to another city and showing them to the people and see, this is the result and the consequence of revolt against the caliph of the time.
You know, of course, it turned out that obviously the purpose was to sort of humiliate the the family of the Holy Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, but it turned around completely. And it started even when they got to Kufa. So, because obviously, and the strange thing is that obviously not everyone sort of really knew who these people were in the beginning, because obviously not everyone would have cited sort of the family of the Holy Prophet literally. And then, but then when they were sort of found out, so when, for example, Lady Zainab and also Imam Sajjad, when they started to speak and they would sort of talk about who they were, then obviously it clicked with people and people became horrified. And there was apparently there was an old and blind man in the mosque of Kufa who sort of revolted against what had happened, and I think he was then also sort of beheaded and his head was portrayed. So was that. But then the whole journey, obviously depending on some of the historical accounts, that whole journey from Kufa to Damascus, it seems that they really ended up having to avoid the big centers because of wherever they stopped. And this is what interested me. The people in the caravan would talk about what happened to them, to whoever they met. They were opening their mouth and talking and sort of propagating.
The media this of is, the time.
Yeah. So this was like the soft war of the time.
That's why I say that maybe the most important journey in the history of the world was this one. You know, a journey that acted as a medium in order to, as Sister Rita, to share the narrative of what truly happened, because Yazid and all his agents here and there wanted to twist the narrative. Now say that, okay, Hussein rebelled against us, so we killed him, so he was outrageous or something like that. But now Lady Zainab, not only Lady Zainab, you know, the kids, you know, even the kids of the Ahlul Bayt, and this is that how the media worked really well. And Lady Zainab, Imam Sajjad, you know, of course Imam Sajjad, I've heard that was sick on that serial, but the ladies especially worked as a good medium on that time in order to tell the people the truth of what happened to the family. Not only, and they were not after their own rights. They never claimed that, okay, we are, for example, that's the true heir of power, or we want to be caliph or something like that, and say that Islam is in danger. Yes. Okay? This was the point.
Yes, actually, as you said, the plot of the enemy backfired. So they had this plan that they are finishing their job by showing everyone that we prevailed and we brag about how strong we are. And because the clan of Hashim, they claim that they are promised by God, the government and everything, but they failed. So they thought that this way they can bury down Islam completely. But it backfired, and with efforts of Lady Zainab sallallahu alayhi, as you said, especially the level of brutality of the enemy, people realized that, no, this is not what they trying to feed us. This is not about rebellion. This is not about, this is about islah, as Imam Hussein had said it earlier, reform and al-amr bil ma'ruf, commanding right. And this was
islahu
fi ummat jaddi,
fi ummat jaddi,
reform in the nation of my grandfather. And then there's the line that in Quran that says illa al-mawaddata fil qurba, that this is a command of Islam that you should love the family members of the Prophet, because of this very reason that they have a role to fulfill. Some people think that this is just a tribal thing, that you love the family members. Because of the ideological role that they had to play after Ashura, and they fulfilled it. And everyone who had known a little bit just about Quran.
Yeah, can we call this journey from Kufa, from Karbala to Kufa first and then to Damascus, the most spiritual journey in the world?
In different ways, the most spiritual, the most...
I mean, because so many people might think that, okay, this is like a Seyru Suluk, okay, as we call it in Persian. Yes. Literature, it is a kind of a spiritual wavering, is what it's called, not journey.
So in that literature, you have the spiritual wavering of Afaqi and Anfusi. Afaqi means in the horizons, in the external world, and then in the interior, in your own soul. So that is one full manifestation of Afaqi, external journey of spiritual. And it has been inspired a lot of people throughout history. Even the procession of Arba'in,
people do.
So if you have been there, I'm sure you have been there. Many people are inspired by the walk that Lady Zainab had, and the family, the children of Imam Hussein had, and they do it Like I remember a few years ago, I was there are two ways to go to Karbala. One of them is a bit more difficult.
Yes.
So there was this young person from another country.
Tariqul Ulamak or
So I asked him, why are you choosing this path? He said, because I have heard that this is the path that was taken by Lady Zainab. So I want to go there barefoot. This inspiration has come down through generations. And I would tell you, the enemy, the army of Yazid, if they knew that this is going to backfire like this, they would not take the Ahlul Bayt to Sham to begin with.
Very good.
They would have sent them to Medina right away.
This was okay.
They wouldn't think. They wouldn't think that this is going to twist their narrative.
Yes, yes.
And the whole thing flipped over. And similar things actually happen in our time as well.
Yes,
sometimes the enemy, in their propaganda, plotting, they think that if they show this footage of, for example, Shahid Yahya Sanwar, they are having
and
a
film
show,
it.
Okay. Yeah, they are having a show of power.
Yes.
Of if they show the rebels in Gaza, they are showing, or if they attack the headquarters of
IRIB, Sahara Mommy.
But then, this is a pattern that repeats itself.
Yes.
That in their propaganda thinking and plotting, they actually shoot themselves in the
still the Yazidi agents are at work and at play all around the world, and still they are miscalculating. And station by station, when they go, as I said, Yazid's agents wanted to say, okay, this is the sign of our power and victory, but that was really the sign of their defeat. I mean, on that time, Sister Zainab, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and that's the interesting thing, because often we hear about the speeches of Lady Zainab and Imam Sajjad, but I personally hadn't realized that all the other women, as you say, just the teenagers, the kids, they were also talking to people. So this is quite remarkable. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's quite interesting to sort of going back to this soft war sort of jihad, in a sense. So it's interesting when we actually tie that in, because we're supposed to draw lessons from history anyway.
This was a rapper called the Jihad al-Tabyin, the Jihad for clarification.
I think the struggle of clarification.
Yeah, the forerunner was Lady Zainab. You know, I mean, she was after clarifying that what happened exactly. And this is that when you clarify a point for some people who do not have any information, it's very much good to have your knowledge rooted in the text of the Holy Quran, the history of the true Islam, okay? And this was, they were really lacking, because when Lady Zainab and Mama Sajjad were in the court referring to the text of the Quran and ayahs, Yazid was completely silent because he hadn't enough knowledge, okay?
He was disarmed.
He was disarmed, in fact. Yeah, he didn't have enough knowledge about the Holy Quran and the Ahadith. And how much, you know, Lady Zainab was sharp in terms of the historical information.
Yes, actually, it is not very surprising, because she was trained by Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Ali is the most knowledgeable among the companions. Also, there is this aspect of that the Shia believe that she had some laduni knowledge, some divine inspired. And if you trace the incidents one by one, you would realize that the reactions that she showed was not of a normal reaction. I mean, you normally could not do that. Like, for example, the part that she said, "Ma ra'aytu illa jamila."
Yeah.
This is something that should be divinely inspired to you.
Yeah, this is not possible to see, for example, all these massacres, slaughtering, and say, "I saw nothing but beauty." And beauty, again, here has a spiritual meaning. I mean, this is, again, a type of a spiritual wavering. And even physically speaking, I think that nothing but beauty is to their eyes, because they see something. And I've heard that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, even before getting to Karbala, station by station, has talks with Sister Zainab, showing that what the future be like, okay, based on her divine knowledge, that the future will be like this.
She had been prepared.
Yes. That's why the tolerance, I mean, bearing the burdens and the hardships will become easier for them.
Yeah, endurance. Actually, there is this hadith that says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends patience as much as he is going to send the bala, the difficulty. So he prepares people. And this was the greatest bala, according to our belief, this was the greatest bala difficulty in the history of mankind.
That's right.
And Lady Zainab has been prepared by that divinely inspiration and directions by her brother, that is for sure.
Okay, that's it. And Sister Zainab, your final remarks, we got about 1-2 minutes.
Yeah, well, obviously, just to sum up, I suppose, in a sense that, yeah, the whole thing backfired. And what struck me is that they sent 1,500 of horsemen with this caravan from Kufa to Damascus, apparently. And I was trying to figure out, why do they need so many? So, and I suppose, I assume that they thought that they could sort of parade their power. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know how that backfired on them. And Yazid had apparently, even according to historical accounts, he had declared festival holidays in Damascus to sort of
celebrate this. But all of a sudden, after the speeches of Lady Zainab, the celebration
finished
and was done. And so many of the counselors of Yazid on that time said that stop. Because if you go on more on that time, there would be more disgrace. That would be an embarrassment for you. So do not go on.
Yeah, you will especially not be able to contain the public opinion against you. So they turned the whole thing.
And
so there, Yazid started blaming the Kufans.
The Kufans, yes.
Because he realized he can no longer take it. He said, "Oh, it."
And even his own agent, that I told, for example, Omar al-Saad or Ibn Ziyad or something like that, not to do that. This is usually what the bullies of the world do when they are in danger and they're under pressure. They try to,
Exactly now. When the genocide is getting momentum, you see some of these Western supporters, they're trying to distance themselves.
Yeah, shun their responsibility.
It is called the operation of saving face. They want to save their face. Uh-huh. And they say, okay, we now are trying to sanction Israel because of what he's doing and whatever. Because they realize that no longer they can support it. At least at the level of the media, they try to save their face. And this is exactly what Yazid did.
But some countries still not, okay? Come on.
Yeah, they're actually sacrificing their own nation because of Zionism.
Okay, and look at the history. Just go and look at the background of the history I'm talking about.
In 10 years, we're going to discuss this, and people are going to discuss this in the universities, how people were complicit and how people make sure that this will be one shame stain.
That's right.
For these people.
Thank you very much, Shaykh Hussein and Sister Zainab. Nice elaboration for the post-Ashura movement. Also, the modern interpretation, the commentaries related to the situation now in the world. Still, the Yazidis are at work. Still, the Husseinis are at work too. Still, the battle between Khair and Shar is going on. And Alhamdulillah, Khair will be victorious. The blood of Hussein is always victorious. Or the sword, weapons, missiles, and everything of the Western powers all around the world till the Day of Judgment. Thank you much. It was very kind of you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And thank you much to the listeners. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. Our new podcasts and live sessions are also uploaded over there. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased.